And when I went to church one day, I decided to say, George, okay, let's plan this together. I want to find out what you tell me if it's real. I want to find out. Let's plan it. So George and I, we put an appointment. Friday night, we're going to a revival meeting. Thank God for revival meeting on Friday night. I'm telling you, this is how I grew up. I didn't grow up on Sunday. I grew up on Friday night. And so I told my mom. My mom was really sick about what I started to not eat, not sleep, you know, this kind of thing. Try all different things. When I told my mom about playing the kitchen, she really freaked out. She really cooked better food for me and all this kind of thing. I said, that still doesn't help. And so Friday night came, and 7 o'clock, I'm going to leave the house, start at 7:30. I'm going to go to church. Just 2 minutes before 7 o'clock show up, a group of my friends, 6 or 7 of them, they show up at my door. I haven't seen them for a month. They deserted me. Gone. Even sometimes, nobody call, nobody say hi, nobody say hello. They're all gone. But just that night, Friday night came. With 6, 7 friends of mine, they all show up in front of my door. Big smile on their face, happy, excited. John, let's go. They have a conspiracy to hijack me. I don't know, maybe you've heard that I'm going to go to church or whatever. We try to, now we're going to party tonight, Friday night. And in something in me said, yes, man, I miss that party thing, you know. I used to be happy. I used to be not worried about tomorrow. I used to, you know, have a good time. Let's do it. Forget about something. And then my mom, she opened the door and she looked at me and said, John, you're going to church tonight, right? Are you? And I look at my mom. And I look at my friend. Look at my mom. I take about 5 minutes to make a decision. And my friend keeps saying, come on, John, let's go. After that, there's a birthday party at so-and-so. We're going to go to their home. We're going to have a good time, all this kind of thing. We start to lay down all the plan for tonight. They all sound good and attractive to me. My mom just looked at me. And I turn around and say to my friend, guys, sorry, not tonight. Tonight, you can go with me. We can be together. We're going to church. Friend, come on, what are you talking about? You've been going to church. You've been trying to do all this kind of thing. It's not working, you know. I said, no. Tonight, I'm going to go to church. So, my friend was very disappointed. But let me tell you one thing. Now I'm looking back, 30 plus years later, every single friend in this group, either they died, or they're in jail. Some has been killed, they've been assassinated, or they end up in jail. The friend Mario, he's a Christian. My friend George, who that Friday night took me to church, he's not going to church anymore. I met him 2 months ago when I was on holiday. So that night I walked to church, and this young man preaching, his name is Peter. He became my mentor for a while, and he was my leader for a season. And he lived in Australia. He lives in Melbourne now. And he made the altar call, and I remember thinking, I'm going to walk down the aisle. And before I even walked down the aisle, something hit me. Something told me, John, you are a sinner. I try to explain to you how I feel. I feel like I'm the worst criminal in this whole world. I'm worse than Hitler. I'm worse than Stalin. I'm worse than all the people that has been a dictator. Even I have not killed anybody, but this is how I feel. I feel like I'm the worst sinner in this world. And yet, there's another revelation came to me and said, I never seen it, I never experienced it before, but it's so real that God is real. I've never experienced this before. I heard about it, I heard Jesus die on the cross, I heard it, I've never feel it so strong that God is real. He's so real that even all the things around me, it's not as real as God is real. But my problem is this, I'm the worst sinner ever existed in the entire history of humanity. And I'm asking God for, God, sorry, God, forgive me. I'm sorry. All I did is just say, God, forgive me. I don't know how to explain this, how I feel. And even before I stood up, something said, I knew this. John, if you walk this aisle, you're not turning back. Once you go there, once you stood there, John, that is going to be, that's it. You won't go back. That life you have, you're going to leave it, you're going to forget it, it's gone. Before I even give my life to Jesus, God already spoke to me, said, you're going to serve me. I didn't know when. I don't know how. I didn't know where. I have no idea. All I need, God said, I'm calling you. You're going to serve me. And I know that there's going to be a season that I'm going to be with, just doing what I'm doing. But there's going to be a time when I'm going to be in the full time serving God. I don't know the word ministry at the time. I didn't have an idea, pastor, whatever. All I know that I'm going to be 100% serving God one day. And I need to make a choice. Not knowing what was happening that night, my mom, sneaky as she is, has called her friend, several ladies, grandma, sitting around me. I don't know them. They were all praying for me to give my life to Jesus. Only afterward that I know that my mom has already invited her friend. She said, I cannot go, but I want you to go and pray because my son is going to go to church on Friday night. And I realized in front of me there was ladies praying. Behind me was ladies praying. Inside of me, they were all praying for me. I've been trapped. That's how I feel. I was that I don't know what they were praying, but that Friday night, I feel I was the worst sinner. I think that's what they were praying for. And I still remember that so clear. Thank God for ladies, prayer warriors. Prayer works. At the same time, there was this fighting that was fighting before. You know, you remember that the first time of go, yes or no, yes or no? That night, there was no, yes or no. It was so clear. That's why when we reach out to people, when we want to preach the salvation, there's a battle going on. There's spiritual warfare going on. And if we don't do the battle, we just give the word, it's not going to work. So when you bring people to church, you bring your friend, your neighbors, whoever need to give their life to Jesus, you need to pray when we're doing the salvation prayer. You need to pray around them. So I remember I started to get up. I feel like, okay, sit down again. No, get up, sit down. And I look, I said, John, that's it. If you go there, everything's going to change. Get out of the aisles, and I walk, and I tell you, I couldn't even look straight. All I did is look on the floor, walk. Every step, I think there's about, you know, from here to go to the kitchen, that's a kind of distance. By the time I got there, I was weeping and weeping and weeping and weeping and weeping. I was not crying like a baby. I was bulging, weeping. God, forgive me, forgive me, forgive me. At that moment, I felt this. God's getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger over me. I was the first one to get there. This guy, this man who was doing the altar call, Peter, he was looking on me. There was a platform. He was looking down, and he was trying to do the salvation prayer. Okay, guys, I'm going to help you to receive Jesus. You know, repeat this prayer after me. You know how it goes, right? And I remember there was two or three people standing next to me, but I was crying so bad that even the preacher was crying. He could not finish his prayer. We will all end up crying in the front. And I remember my shirt was wet with tears, and more than tears. And my shoes was wet. The floor was wet. Just crying, giving my life to Jesus. And it's been 32 years. I've never looked back. Never looked back. Has it been time when I wanted to look back? Oh, yes. Has it been time when I wanted to go back in the business world? Oh, mighty yes. When Alex and I we were back in Mauritius, I've seen all my friend and also my cousin and when they are doing, they are very successful in what they do and making a lot of money. They're telling me, John, you should have been 10 times more wealthy where you are right now. And I said, in what way? Can you explain to me? Do you have what I have? I don't have what you have, but do you have what I have? You know, I have about 65 souls that God allowed me to minister to them on the Sunday. Who do you have to impart? And make a long story short, my younger cousin, I was influenced him because I was in the construction trade. I was influenced him to getting into construction, and he became an architect. And now he can retire. He's younger than me, and he can retire very well. John, he said, why don't you come back? Let's do business together. One deal together, you'll be $18 million richer. What? You'll be $18 million richer. One deal. When I think about this, I'm tempted to do it. This is where it's in the blood, man. It's in me. The drive keep kicking in. But this is amazing thing. After I got saved, three different people come to that church on Friday night. Within 3 months, people from different countries, different nations, they pick me up in the crowd, they point their hand to me, say, you over there, stand up. The first time I was thinking the guy behind me didn't want to stand up. The guy could say, you, stand up, you stand up. I keep telling the guy, hey, he's calling you. I say, no, you, hey, get up, man. Still, finally I realized, what? Me? No, what do you want? I was a new thing in the church. So he told me to stand up. He said, I got a word for you. And then he said, God called you to be a priest. That's it. Sit down. Priest, hit me, but not as hard. Shake it off. I don't know. I don't want to be a priest. Shake it off. Move on. 3 weeks later, another person came. You over there. Stand up. Me again? Okay. Now, I got used a little bit more. God called you to be a priest. That's it. Sit down. The second time, I went to myself. I come from a Catholic background, guys. When you tell me a priest, You know what I see? It's worse than the kitchen kitchen. Now this holy smoke, you know? That holy water and the holy smoke. I said to myself, no, there must be a mistake here. I said, maybe the guy still sitting behind me and said, he probably has missed me, you know, missed you, you know? Couldn't, that's you, man. You're the one who been in the church longer than I have been. A few weeks later, somebody else came. A pastor from Australia, he came with 7 pastors. They're touring around the region. They want to see what God is doing. His name is John Bird. And he said, you over there stood up. And he was serious, this guy. Dead serious. I could not believe what he was doing again. I wanted to duck, hide, run as quick as fast. I want to be invisible. And he said, stand up. Now people got used to it. John, you again. How come never call me? I don't want them to call me. Why don't you stand up my place? No, it's you, man. And I keep doing like this. He said, you, and you're wearing these clothes and stand up. I tell you, I stood up. And he said the same thing. I have a word from God, and it's so clear. The moment I walk in and God told me, he called you. He said he called you to be a priest. He told you that before, and now he's telling you this. Get used to it. He's calling you to be a priest. That's it. Sit down. And I went home. I'm having a party with God. I'm crying on my bed. God, you got the wrong person here. You told me to get saved. You told me to be baptized. You told me to be filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongue. I don't know what it means, but I want it. I did it. But I'm happy to do all the things that you told me. I'm happy to be baptized. I'm happy to, you know, to be saved. But that priest thing, you call me, that thing, priest, God, you got the wrong person here. You definitely got the wrong person. And I'm started to, you know that moment you're debating with God? How many of you have had this moment with God? You know, God, not me. Because in my mind, I'm thinking about this Catholic priest, never get married, don't have any kids. To me, my life is like, I want to get married, I want to have kids. That's my dream. I said, God, you got the wrong person here. I don't want to be a priest. Little by little, God should start to help me and show me. I didn't have the whole meaning. I'm still getting more and learning more. And every time I heard somebody talk about the priesthood, God started to reach out to me. The last Sunday, the last meeting that I had at the main church, at the airport campus, there was a conference, and then I was flying back to Mauritius. There was a man, he came, I forgot his name, and there was Patricia Butzman and all these people in the front. And he started to talk, he started to preach. I forgot even know the conference name. And then he said, God is calling people to be priests. And the whole message was about the priesthood anointing. And when he said, I'm going to make a long story short, I'm going to make an invitation, I'm going to call those who've been called to be priests to come up here. And I knew immediately something in me jumped inside. And I realized that what happened 30 years ago, 32 years ago, God's still waiting for me to give an answer. Even I walked down the aisle. Even he sent these 3 people to prophesy over me, pick me up. And I'm still realizing that. Even I'm a pastor, I'm done, all this kind of thing. He's still waiting for me. He has time. He's still waiting. And that happened 2 months ago. And I remember Patricia Butsma, whoop, she ran first. Ooh, she's bold. But, and I thought to myself, you know what? I'm sitting in the front row, you know, on the side by the cafe. I'm good right now. God, okay, that's it. That step. You can see my heart. And I realized God's still saying, mm-mm, no. Do you want to take it or you want to wait longer? And I realized at this moment, I can't wait. So I slowly, by the time I get there, it was about 20 people, 20, 25. Get there, I said, God, that's it. If that's what you want, then take it. Take everything. One little thing lead to another one. One little step lead to another step, lead to another step. Half an hour later, I would say, God, I laid down to you. I laid down. And 2 weeks later, in Mauritius, it was my Alexander's dad, my father-in-law, doing his 60th anniversary. And I'm officiating his wedding anniversary. And I look around and I tell you, a lot of his people who know about me and know about my story, how I came to know Jesus, they heard my story and they see me doing the wedding. Three of them came to me afterwards, say, John, I want to know who God is. One guy said, I want to leave everything behind. I want to give my business, I want to give my life, I want to give everything. I want to know God. That's what he say. He said, if God called me right now, I'm leaving everything. Even if God told me to leave my wife, I'll leave her. That's what he say. I said, no, don't leave your wife. You know? No, he's serious. And he has gun with him. He's walking around. You know? He's not an, regular guy. He shoot people around. He said, if God called me, I'll give everything. So we were able to pray with him. And just to make a long story short, God called all of us, I believe, in this ministry to become priests before him, to minister in his presence. That's what I'm going through. God wants you to go in his presence to be able to open your hand. That's why it's coming down. Whatever's going down right behind you, Bobby. God wants us to be able to, God, I want to lay down. Some of you still hold on something in the past. I didn't realize I was holding anything. I give it all. But I realized 2 months ago, God still said yes or no. Do you want it or not? Right? In Ezekiel 44, it gives two kinds of priesthood. One who has their hand dirty and hand is not right. That's why it hit me when Jeremy last Sunday, he came and said, some of you can minister to people, but some of you are not called to minister before the Lord. But the whole thing came into perspective. I've been called to be able to minister to the Lord as well. That's a big difference. The very first ministry God called us, Abraham, everyone who is to first to minister to him. And I've been asking the question, God, do you have needs? Why do you want me to minister to you? You want me to pray for you? No. What is this all about? What is ministering to the Lord is all about? Right? It's to come in his presence and start loving him. And be transformed in his presence. Only then, no other ministry can come to birth without this first ministry. It doesn't matter if you're preacher, pastor, evangelist, whatever, healer. All this ministry give birth in that moment of spending, ministering before the Lord. That is a number one office that we can implement here on the earth. It's better and bigger than the administration of the prime minister or president of the nation, if you can minister before God, God's going to do lots and lots and lots, but beyond your widest dream. If you look at the last chapter of 1 Chronicles, I think chapter 29, the last 5-6 verses, it talks about David. I'm going to end with this. I know some of you are fasting and pray right now for 10 minutes. David, the scriptures say that God was so well pleased with him. He come from a shepherd boy looking after the sheep, and at the end he ended up to be a king of Israel for 40 years. Not only God has given him success and defeat all the enemy around, not only around him but also around the nation of Israel, but God has also give success to his son Solomon. And God has blessed Solomon with so much that he has all I've never, like any other king before, had never received. So it's telling me that if I'm pursuing this path, ministering before the Lord, forget about what goes around me. It doesn't matter what people will look like, whether they have a dress, if they put makeups or not, if they smell good or drink coffee or not. My ministry first is to minister to God's. And when I start to learn to do this more and more and more and more, God's going to grant me success. Whatever success means to you, it's going to be a powerful move of God. Not only that, but then your children is going to be successful. God's blessing is going to turn around, not just hitting you, but hitting your children and children. I can impart a lot into my kids. I can say, you know what, you need this, you need that, you need to study, you need to work hard, you need to, but when God's blessing come, God will make them more successful, 100 times more than I can make. And some of you, you want your children to be successful. You want to be successful. So I want to encourage you this morning to able to go into the very presence, able to learn how to minister in his presence. Sometimes a lot of minister in the presence is not what you say, it's about what he says. And this is when we heard what he's saying. That's when we apply it. Amen? Okay. I keep my message for next week. No, next week is Alexandra. Why don't we stand up? I don't know why God want me to speak that message Friday night at the Followers Mission, and why he want me to speak it now today, but I think we're all going to come to a time when we're going to face either we serve, either our Christian life are real, or we want to keep going, playing, you know, we can do it if we want. We can just roam around and acting good, smiling and hugging people. I mean, it's all good. We are not bad. You know, God tells us to love one another, so pray for one another. We're all good. But the most important thing is we need, God call us to able to enter into his presence. So you heard my testimony. You're going to have a testimony as well. God's calling you. I had a dream about you, Lisa, last night, actually. I had a dream about people, God speaking to me about things, right? So I want you to just to put your hands like this. If you want to be having this office of the priesthood anointing, by the way, there's priestess as well, and the scriptures say it's not just for men, it's for men and women. If you really, really, really serious about God, there's no other way. And thank you, Father. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you for, in the book of Ezekiel, that when you say that there's those who are called to minister to the poor, the priests are called to handle the gift, the offering, but also there's one that particularly those who are clean, those who has those hand has not touched any unclean thing, those are the one that you want them to come into your presence and minister to you. And Father, you call us to leave the uncleanness behind and go into the cleanness and the holiness so that we can enter and minister to you, to your very heart, God. Not just to help the poor, not just to bless someone. It's all good, but Father, I just pray right now that on the menorah right now, Father, I just see that right now, there's a candlestick that you want to put every person on that menorah so that our light will shine before you, God. And the showbread and the cloud of glory. And Father, when we allow the temple, our church today, the temple that you want to build, everyone represent something in your presence, your glory will come. And Father, I'm asking, I'm calling those who call to be the candlestick on the menorah, those who call to be the showbread, those who call to dance before you, those who are called to minister to you, those who are called to bring the offering to you before your presence, those who are called just to bow before you and worship you in spirit and in truth, those who are called, Father, to be that priesthood, that Leviticus priesthood that you want to rebuild, restore today in this church, Father, I break off all the uncleanness around us, Father, in the name of Jesus. All the things that we've been listening to that is unclean, all the gossip, all the things, all the lies, all this deception that has been bothering us, Lord. Father, we break all these things. We want to go now into your presence. We want to go into meeting you face to face, hearing you, loving you, put our arms around you, God. In Jesus' name. Father, I lift every man and woman today. Help us, Father, not to go home and forget about what we heard today. Help us, Father, to go home and going deeper and deeper and deeper be in what you call us to do and to be in these days. And you want to rebuild the temple. And Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit, God. It's not how good we sing, how long we sing. It's about your presence, how thick it is. It's about your presence, how strong it is. It's about how we can minister to you, Father God. And Father, just pray for everyone's heart right now. Father, help us, Father, to discern the uncleanness and godliness that the enemy has tried to put around us. That any burden, any things that it's not of you, that the enemy wants us to look at, anything that the enemy wants us to carry that is not from you, anything that any responsibility that's take away your presence from our lives. Father, we ask right now that all these things can come out, be open before you so that we can cut it off in the name of Jesus. The word that come out of our mouth, come out of our heart, of our soul, our mind, that is not aligned with you, that steal the anointing. Father, we ask you, God, right now to help us, Father, to break these things off in the name of Jesus. It's not about superiority. It's not about who's a hierarchy in the church. It's about your presence, God. Help us, Father, to be the church you want us to be. Help us, Father, to be the people you call us to be. Help us, Father, to walk in your presence day and night. Help us, Father, to be the king that you want us to be, God. Help us, Father, to administer justice in the presence, not just in the physical, but how we see things. You are the one. Father, we ask right now, Father, that everything that you have prepared for us, Father, help us, Father, to put the robe of the high priest as we dance before you, to strip off any other robe, any other stuff, any other title that been given by man, Father, strip it off. Only you, God, only you, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. Why don't you just touch the person next to you and just pray for a moment. Just pray for someone. Just take a few minutes. Just bless the person. Say, God, I release my friend today. Father, I know you have called him, or you call her, Father, to be able to minister before your presence. To be able to hear you, to be able to see you, to be able to have an experience in your presence every day in their life. Holy Spirit, fill one another. Wow. In Jesus' name, let your glory come. Let everything that's been carried, that's been burdened, just melt it, Father. Shake it off. You call us to be a royal priesthood and a holy nation. Father, I release that royal priesthood anointing over this church in Jesus' name. Now, Father. Now. Now, God. In Jesus' name. Right. Turn around, pray for the other person if you haven't prayed for. Release God, give them your grace, call them out in Jesus' name. Hug one another.